Welcome to Touchpoint Ministry Podcast. This is Bethel, and you are listening to Getting Personal with Grace. Let's re-experience grace together. This is for those people who would love to go deeper with their personal Bible study reflections, get in line with a Christ-centered study on the books of the Bible, and encounter grace as if for the first time. I am thrilled to share to you what changed my life, the gospel. Join me here in just a few minutes of your time, and let's get personal with grace. Hello and welcome. This is episode 2 of our Getting Personal with Grace. Thank you for joining me in our journey to find a personal picture of grace in Genesis chapter 2. How about a word of prayer before we dig in? Father God, thank you for this time to experience you, to get to know you deeper, and to be impressed by your realities. I know you will bless us. You will bless the brother or the sister that is joining me in this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 2. What do we see in this chapter? Of course, we see a grand picture, I assure you, of God's great love. A great picture, a grand picture of God's personal grace. But on a face value, you will see in chapter 2, two main stories, a flashback one and God's finishing touches, finishing declaration of his creative activity. And that is in the first part of the chapter, God's rest, and the rest is a flashback that was made by Moses in a way to emphasize the imagery of creating Eve for Adam. So it gives us a beautiful picture of not just a husband and a wife relationship, but relationship as a whole. So there are two main points we see here: God's rest and a picture of relationship, or a relationship. So I hope that you will get some nuggets of personal God, of a personal God in this episode. So let's start with point number one, the rest of God. Let's read Genesis 2 verses 1, 2, 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And this verse has been the foundation, the doctrinal foundation of Sabbatarians, of Seventh-day Adventists, and all other Seventh-day keeping Sabbath denomination. And this also goes to Deuteronomy in relation to Sabbath. It's a picture of Sabbath, but not in the picture of creation. It's a declaration of having Sabbath as a different picture, a different realm. It's more of a liberation, of freedom from slavery. So this is a Sabbath that brings us to a beautiful picture of the declaration of God's freedom set for his people. And when we say here in Deuteronomy 4:19, we see in relation to the declaration in Genesis 2 verse 1, thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. And here Moses recounted this and said, and when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has a portion to all the nations under heaven. So Moses was pointing them, they are only creations of God. They are just the product of God's creative power, but they are not God themselves, or they are not the object of our worship. They should not. And Psalm 33 also gives us this picture of the sovereignty of God in all creation. 33 verse 6 in Psalm, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. This is such a declaration of how God's word has the creative power. He did not need to move a single finger to create all the creations in heaven, all the starry hosts, all the universe up there that we see is just created by his words. And what a powerful God. What a God that we serve if we really put it in heart, to heart, that these things are not just a showcase of power, of might, but a showcase of love. That we serve a God who gave us everything, every beautiful things to serve us good, right? And here, as what I have told you a while ago, that in relation to Sabbath day, Sabbath is expressed again in a form of the commandment in Exodus 20, where we see there that it's part of the Ten Commandments, the indestructible law of God. And we are pointed there on how and the do's and don'ts of the Sabbath, because it points us back to creation. It points us to who is really the authority. You need to rest because you are under a creator. You don't need to work your life out. You don't need to work yourselves out because you have someone who sees you and who created you. He is in charge of you. You are not the gods of yourself. So Exodus is very particular in pointing us on, do not serve other gods and do not have other gods before me. And on the fourth, we are reminded of the Sabbath, to rest, because you are not the in charge, you are not the God of yourselves. It's God who is in control of the lives of men, of not the specific things or the specific faith, but there is the essence of the control that only God can do and has over man. Then in Deuteronomy, I also mentioned a bit of it. In Deuteronomy, we have there an expression of the Sabbath commandment, but it's not anymore on a point of creation, but on a point of redemption, meaning the saving grace. It's the memory or the recollection of God's great work of redeeming them from Egypt. They should never ever forget the redemption that God has given them, because it will point them to the future hope of deliverance, to all the wars and battles that they will experience, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, of course. And so this liberation, freedom from slavery, liberation from an oppressive power, also points us to the liberation that Jesus will give his people, the freedom that he will give his people, all those who will believe in him. So friends, I hope you're getting the feel of the Sabbath, that it's not just merely ceasing of the work, but there are so many, it's loaded with significance, that it's not just mere stopping of work and everything will be understood that way. We need to remember, we need to go back to our Creator before Sabbath will have a beautiful sense in our lives. And of course, in Hebrew chapter 4 verse 4, there a Sabbath was declaration of Sabbath statement was again said by Paul, and this is pointing to the future Sabbath, the greater Sabbath, the grandest Sabbath, where rest will be given for eternity, where Sabbath is something, is a celebration that we can do at present of God's creative power in our lives, His recreative power in our lives in Deuteronomy, and His future plans for our lives. So Sabbath is creation, recreation, and then salvation. So we go here, very beautiful thoughts that Sabbath is not just really stopping from work, right? So what is then is Sabbath for me? So in this study, I get to dig in so many precious lines and statements about the Sabbath. And I've been living this life since I got converted and since I understood the very essence of the Sabbath. Sabbath. In Sabbath, I have a God who has a plan. Can you imagine that? You know, like when you live in this reality, when I started to live in this reality, that Sabbath brings me to the reality that my God has a plan. That is so precious. I have a God who created the world, not just me. I have a God who is concerned not just of my well-being, but of the entire universe. I have a God who is overseeing everything. There may be chaos. I know that because of sin, because of the great controversy. But it's so different that amidst the chaos, the uncertainties, I have a God that I could run to and I could go to for comfort, for encouragement, for some illumination on times when we get down. I have a God who declared deliverance. I have a God who is so concerned of my freedom. He does not want me to be enslaved by anyone and by anything. I can be enslaved easily by my decision making, but I have a God in Jesus who does not want me enslaved. He wanted me free. He doesn't want me to be held captive by anything and anyone that would oppress me and that would put me in danger. So as I live this kind of principle and reality in every decision making I have, I am now trying to see, will this work enslave me in some way? Will this boss enslave me in some way? Will he act superior to me that would take away my rights and take away my opportunities and hinder me from growing? It made me aware that God is so concerned of my freedom. And that freedom is not the liberty, according to Paul, to do what I want to do, but it's to do what is right in the face of this earth under the will of God. So every time my life is now governed by the reality that I need to guard the freedom that has given by God, as long as I can still and God allows it to, for me to guard it for His glory, so I can function to be the person that He wanted me to be. So I get to function in freedom every day from addiction, from any addiction with social media, addiction with food, addiction with relationships. So it saved me from all of those struggles before. And here with the Sabbath, it says that I have a God who is victorious. It means that in all the struggles that I'm going through right now, in all the hardships that I may be going through, I already have the victory. Yes, I may be in pain, I will die, but I have the victory as long as I hold on to His name. As long as I keep his hand close to mine. As long as I grab his hand, as long as I have this faith that is focused on who my God is, I am victorious. I am victorious because he already won the battle at the cross, and we are already just waiting for that final judgment that he will declare to this world. So, and to the agency of Satan. So friends, Sabbath really is a very special time to be reminded that my God has a plan, my God is the creator of the world and my creator, my God is a God of deliverance, and he does not want me to be a slave and to be a captive of anything that will undermine my value, of anyone that would trample my worth. And I am also secure that my victory is promised. So Sabbath, friends, in all, is really about what Jesus offers us. His love and his life. That he stood faithful until death. You know, like, this is, I think, the most personal picture that we could get in Genesis chapter 2. That Sabbath, his rest, God's rest, is about giving his life, that he stood faithful until his death. And what a great privilege to be known by this God. And this God who gave his life for me knew me personally. If he stood faithful until death, then what would be the reason that he would not stay faithful until the end? The rest of God is when all his creation is already settled at peace in their right place. God will never stop working his best to put you, to settle you. But friends, sometimes we have a different thought of rest. Our point of settlement is career, job, or a permanent job, or a secure finances. But God sometimes does not bring us that settlement, and we are to be content because that is our reality for now. And we know that God does not sleep, because the greatest settlement is really in his heart. That we get his heart, that we get to understand his life, his love, his faith in us, and his faith in all creation. So friends, life is really not all about me, but it's all about him. That's what we are reminded of the Sabbath. It doesn't mean that God neglects our needs and God doesn't really think of our needs, but life is more than just getting what you want and getting what you have planned for. It's more on allowing God to move, allowing God to do his work. So the rest of God is a very beautiful picture, a very beautiful thing to behold, that he will never ever rest until we get settled in his heart, until we are back, until we embrace the gospel, that he will never really stop. So our rest is in the works of Jesus in each of our hearts, the work that has already began even before we were born. Sabbath is me stopping to please him for my favor. You know, sometimes, like, I grew up with this idea that I need to please God, I need to work hard so that God will love me, I need to perform my best in the church so that God will accept me. So if I have the church members clapped or affirm my service, it means that God is affirming it. I mean, sometimes it's a good thing, but it's really not the point of life here on this earth. We are not made to please God. God has always been the one doing his best to give everything that is for our best. So in a very shallow statement, I could say it was really God who's pleasing us anyway. It's not really us trying to please God. It is, you know, Sabbath then becomes like, Sabbath is stopping to please God, stopping to put my strength on earning favor from God. It is stopping to believe that God is the same as the rulers and kings of this world. It's stopping to believe that God is a tyrant, then God is abusive, that God will rule over me with dominance and power. No, God will never do that. Sabbath means I need to believe that my God has served me, and with what? With his life for my sake. I need to believe that it was God alone who worked so hard for me to be saved. I need to believe that my Jesus is my protector and defender. Sabbath means all I need to do is to believe and bathe my heart and soul with the abundance of his dedication and devotion to have me in his kingdom. Friends, I really am having goosebumps here. It's really so different to think God this way, to think of Sabbath this way, that it's inviting me to stop believing the things that I learned from childhood, that God needed to be pleased, that God needed an audience, that God is like an insecure God who needed my affirmation. He has become my brother and high priest in heaven forever, not because for himself, but for me. So this is really Sabbath rest for me today. This is where I will be set free from all the working so hard to earn God, working so hard to please God, and working so hard to earn God's favor and salvation. This is freedom already. And you know, when I was set free from all those burdens of keeping the Sabbath, I was really free indeed. And Sabbath is now a very, I am not so dramatic and sentimental in a way, but I celebrate the Sabbath just in peace. I have peace with God. Whether I work with church responsibility, or I'm just at home resting, I am at peace. I have this peace that passeth understanding, talking to my Redeemer, and it feels like Sabbath is like every day already. Friends, this is such a lovely thing to think of the Sabbath as God's gift for us to celebrate his love, to celebrate his good works for us. So friends, what a hope and assurance! It just rained down on us today, right? I hope you get hold of those thoughts. But we're not yet finished. We're not yet done, because we still have a short thing to go to point number two. On the second point, we get the dynamics of relationship. We get to read there about how Adam was put to sleep, and then Eve was created, and then Adam declared these sentences that are so nice. Theologically, if you would go there, you would really get so many nuggets. What I'm giving you now is just kind of like a summary of all the things that you will see if you will study it in a deeper level of the language. So this takeaway number two is, it's very important to think that in the dynamic of relationship of a man and a woman, God knew so well the very need of men for intimacy and for closeness. So this is just in a bigger universal picture of this point of the relationship between Adam and Eve. It's more on taking us to the reality that God knew so well, even before Adam hoped and asked for it. He had it already to make Eve for Adam. This is in man's system. As God is a triune God, God is a God of relationship. all of us, sisters and brothers, friends, strangers, we are created to be connected. This is a very fact of our being humans. Whether you're single or married, God created us for connection and relationships. There's nothing wrong with relationship and craving for connection, longing to have a husband, longing to have a friend, a best friend, or longing the love of our parents. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to go higher in our perspective on that. So to crave for a relationship, for intimacy and closeness, is part of how we really are created, as what I have said. And this craving, as I use this word, should be pointed to God. Okay, so this is where we get things, you know, higher. Because most of the times, how we satisfy our craving for intimacy and longing is we go to our peers. We think the relationship, the boyfriend, the marriage would be the thing that would, you know, fill in that hunger for intimacy. But friends, this is the good news. We have the solution for all those things. This craving will never ever be satisfied with anything that man will produce, will make, or will give. This craving will only be made satisfied with God, because this comes from Him. It's actually God who craves for us. That's why we also have this craving, because we need to match it with the craving of God for us. So this is the very plan of God, that as Adam and Eve grow closer to each other, they will also reflect the closeness of God to them. So our relationship should teach us the reality of the closeness of God to us. You know, like, it's a different perspective, right? It's not more on our cravings now, but this is now shifting to the craving of God towards us. So every relationship in this earth should be with a human being is designed by God to lead us closer to Him. So this is like a foretaste of our closeness and intimacy with God. Our craving is directed for us to see how hungry God for us is, because He is our Creator in the first place, and He is hungry of our time, of our attention, and of who we are. Not because He needed it, but because we are loved by God. He misses us when we ran away in that story in Genesis 3. So friends, with all honesty, it should only be God who would satisfy your craving. Because with God, this is the kind of relationship that we can connect with Him anytime. We could connect with Him with all honesty, without any reservation, where we can go to God with our naked selves. And only God is the best place to be naked. Only with God is the best place to really be so filled with vulnerability. It is the best place to be open, because we will never be satisfied by man. No matter how you seek the best person, trying to make this person satisfy you, it really wouldn't happen. It really wouldn't happen. I have never seen a person that is not satisfied with God, that is satisfied with his relationship with human beings. So the only thing that we are to reverse is that we are to go to God first in order to establish intimate relationship in this earth, because that is how we are designed to be. We are designed to have a relationship first with our Creator individually, personally, and then the result of that relationship with our Creator, personal relationship, the result of that is how we relate with each other in a loving, respectful, and caring way. That is the essence of relationship designed by God. Our hearts, our cravings are satisfied by Him first, then we have a cup that is filled with God's love, that we are now able to extend this blessing of filling to others around us. So that is the original dynamics of a relationship as God originally planned it to be. The relationship of Adam and Eve should grow because their relationship with God has grown. So, friends, and it said there, Adam said, "Oh, Eve is my suitable." God created Eve to be Adam's suitable helper. But let us never forget, as this relationship is only a shadow of God's relationship towards us, God is first and foremost our suitable helper. He's very personal. When you pray, you know, I remember when I was in college and I have this really baby faith. It was just, you know, I was just beginning to really encounter Him, and I told Him, "God, if you are God, I don't wanna borrow money anymore, because I'm just borrowing sometimes money from classmates to have for my fare going home." And I said, "Lord, I'm already shy. Can you just give me money, but without me telling anyone. And so I said, "Okay, I will check all my pockets. They're empty. Lord, please, can you give me money just enough to go home? Please, 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 please. They're empty. I waited to the jeepney stop. I waited and I said, "Lord, give me the money now. The jeepney is coming." And you know what? I really have never experienced it before, and I was so shocked. There was this 20 peso bill that's in my pocket, folded very, very, you know, like very pressed. It's very, very pressed. It's been to a washing machine and got just stuck on my uniform. And I was like, "Lord, you're amazing. Thank you so much." But friends, I'm not leading you to a miracle. I'm leading you that miracle just satisfied my longing to be delivered from that situation my way. But I should have not done that, you know. But God was faithful. He was trying to deliver me from my very, very small faith and from the evidences that I would like. And because I was really suffering at that time, if He is really real. And that miracle, I forgot it and I just remember it now. So it wasn't really about the miracle, but it wasn't how God even went down to my level to really satisfy, to be my helper at that very time. So God is all the relationship we need above all, and the rest shall follow. So friends, if you feel this craving and longing inside you, I think it is time to really run back to the source. Run back to God, where everything starts, where who we are starts, because He's the only one who can solve that. If we go to a boyfriend, to a girlfriend, to a spouse to fill in that void inside our hearts, it's hard, because they are also failing humans. They are also struggling humans. We are just the same. They don't have the capacity to fill in our hearts. So friends, let's read this verses that Adam said, verse in 23:23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." We see here how Adam was really so happy. And friends, I mention this because this, not to dig deeper more on this, but just to point out how delighted was Adam to see someone that he could relate to. And we are to go higher with our perspective here, that we really needed God in our relationships and in our personal relationships. And we are to start with God, because He will be so delighted to see us go back to Him. No matter what is your past, no matter what you are doing right now, please remember this precious promise that God will be so delighted to see you back home. Even though you will think all those negative things because of what you have done, don't mind it, because it's normal to think of that way. But please think that God will be so happy to see you back, to satisfy your cravings, to satisfy your longings. He is the water that we need, and that we will never be thirsty again. So friends, we are God's precious creation, and because sin has separated us, that is why God declared with all diligence and faithfulness the promise that cannot be broken, that He will take us away from our slavery to sin. He will set us free. This is the promise of the Sabbath, and another promise on a relationship, that He is the only one we can run to that would satisfy all the cravings of our hearts, that our longings will be filled, because He promised anyone who drinks of this water will never be thirsty again. Friends, I hope you got something great and grand there from our personal encounter with grace today in Genesis chapter 2. I really appreciate you joining me. God bless you. Thanks for joining me today at Touchpoint Ministry Podcast. Remember that you can also find Touchpoint Ministry on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for more Christ-centered related contents. God bless you in your walk today, and may His grace abide in you. I'm Bethel. Hope you join me again for another life-changing study on grace.